Get ready.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host.
And I'm Maris the Witch, taking over Paul, who's temporarily incapacitated.
Temporarily. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guests, except for this month. It is episode 213 of the Weekly Cooldown, and it is February 23rd. We are almost at the end of Black History Month, and as you know, for Black History Month on this show, if you've been a long-time listener, we dig a little into what it's like being black on the internet, what it's like being black while playing video games, what it's like being black. So this month, obviously no different than any other year. During the month of February, we are digging into it. Maris is joining me as my co-host because I've said it in past years and I'll say it again. Paul is white, can't be here.
You are a government assigned white person.
Yes, I have two of them. Luckily.
You do.
I have two. Yeah, I get two. Paul is off. We are going to dig into once again some fun ideas and chats with a good friend, Rhythm Star Husky is here. This
Hello.
Time. Hello. Welcome, welcome.
The cutest name.
Hi. Thank you. Made it myself. No, seriously, I made it myself.
He grew that. Welcome, Rhythm Star Husky. Tell the people who you are, what you do on the internet.
Oh, okay. I guess this is very different. Okay. Hello, I go by Rhythm Star Husky, but just call me Rhythm for short. I'm on the internet pretending to be a gay blue dog, and I try my best to inspire people through playing video games and teaching them about mental health. Just by playing the father role as well.
Very cool. Yes. Very cool. That's a
great guidance.
That's a tall order.
It is.
Oh,
taking on the shoulder to lean on, and also in a sense, as you said, the fatherly role. That's a lot. You've been doing this for how long now?
I'll be reaching 2 years in May. Mm.
Ooh.
Yeah. Two years. My 2 year anniversary as a content creator in general is in May. That's when I decided to play this role. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's taxing. I'm not gonna lie, but it's very rewarding in its own sense.
We've spoken about it a few times now on this show. Streaming is hard.
It is.
Streaming can be very difficult. So I appreciate you taking on something of a different approach to it than I think other streamers do. So well done.
Thank you. I try. Imaginary hair, but here I am.
Very good. So like I said, it is indeed Black History Month. And for this year, I decided we are going to celebrate people who are out there creating things in the world. Last episode, it was cosplaying. This week, it is once again Twitch streaming and technically VTubing again, in a sense. So we're going to ask Rhythm some questions. We're going to put the spotlight on him and give him a little hype.
So this is a little interrogation.
A light interrogation amongst friends. What is...
Right.
I won't tell you no furry secrets. Let me go.
What do you
furries?
Mean? That's what we're here for.
Furries. Okay.
I won't speak. Maybe for a Scooby snack. That's a joke.
Perfect. So... Rhythm, you are online as you're a PNG tuber, which is kind of a not subset necessarily, but a version of VTubing. So you already sort of answered this question. You said you started streaming in May. So talk about what it was like starting out, and were you already set on being a PNG tuber from the start?
So, fun fact, I was an IRL streamer before I was a PNG tuber.
A flesh tuber. Hello.
Yeah, I was a flesh tuber. I had a skin sewn and everything.
Everyone calls me that.
But I wouldn't count that as like my where I am now. Mm-hmm. It's more like my realization of not giving up, because when I was a quote unquote flesh tuber or IRL streamer, it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I started, I had no name to me. I had nothing except maybe like the little bit of art I used to do. And when I started streaming, it was to promote my artwork, and so people can know what I draw, what do I do, and things on that side. Mm-hmm. And when I started, I was streaming to like almost nobody. I would have maybe like 3 or 4 friends pop up on stream for me, and it was nice. Don't get me wrong. I love them, and I love the support that they provided for me. But there were days when they can't, and it's like you're on stage alone, and it was very difficult. Mm-hmm. Before I reached to, you know, PNG, because after becoming after a little bit, I quit, mm-hmm. believe it or not, and I did not stream until May. So technically, I started September the previous year, and then quit in October. Mm-hmm. And then two years ago in May is when I officially started as the career of the father figure.
Now,
and stream and PNG.
what's the inspiration behind this? So like, Rhythm is, as you said, the father figure. You've decided to be kind of a mental health guide, so to speak. What really guided you, I guess, to this point?
Oh, there were so heavy many questions. Directions. It's not really like, well, maybe, actually just slightly. It's like, at first, I didn't intend to be the father figure or anything like that. I just wanted to be the fun streamer kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, as I found like different inspirations and different ideas, I've noticed, and no one likes talking about this, but as content creators, you've noticed that we all come from a sense of hurt.
Hmm.
And we use our platform so we feel a little less alone. And
don't talk about me.
Wait a minute. Sorry.
You telling company secrets.
I told you it was going to be a little heavy, concentrating.
Go on, though.
It's just, they're all just trying to find a voice and a place where they can speak about themselves and they feel less alone. And through that, build content. And some people do it for their own validations, and that's okay. Some people do it to help others. And the way I saw it, I saw so much hurt. And of course, I do have my own dreams and my own aspirations. But I felt like, I don't want to sit here and complain about the problems that we have within fandoms, gamer fandoms, anime fandoms, furry fandom. I want to actually do something. Because you see a lot of complaining. You see a lot of personalization, like opinionated, like, oh, I hate when things are like this and like this.
Mm-hmm.
But no one really takes the action. And at first, I worried that I was too old.
Mm.
I thought I was like, oh, I'm reaching my early 30s. This is a genre that's meant for kids or like teenagers or young adults. And luckily I found others around my age, and they showed me that how they handle things, how their aspirations. They're not really the dad role. They're just a guy or a woman, or, you know, if that's where their pronouns align. But, they showed me that the age doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. It's what you present for that platform.
Right.
And I took it upon myself to just be like a guiding light for people in general, despite of what like fandom you support. The father figure part is by accident, but I rolled with
sure.
it.
Sure.
Not the assigned father figure.
Yeah, right.
I feel like it's a little more honest when people are assigned the role to you and you decide if you want to take it or not. It's more of like, you know, a little concern when someone like picks it up, you know. When I started streaming, people said that I had like a fatherly attitude. And I always had like a big brother attitude. I was always the take care friend. Mm-hmm. Like if we're going out and you're all getting drunk, I'm going to be the one who's sober. I'm going to drive you, make sure that you're okay kind
of
guy.
Of course.
So it all aligns in a way. And when I started and people like, you're such a dad. You're such a father. And we appreciate you for it. And like, I asked myself, like, maybe being a father would be the best direction to take in order to do what I need to do to heal the world in my own way, even despite me being a small streamer, you know? So I decided to head in that direction, and this is where I am now.
Very cool.
Sorry if that was a little rambly.
No. No, I love that. Everybody needs caretakers. Yes. Like, we like to think we can do stuff on our own. But everyone needs someone they can go to just talk.
We all need somebody
be accepted. To be Ryan, are you somebody who needs somebody for real?
Very cool, very cool. So what has the journey been like, right? You've gone from flesh tuber to stop tubing at all to now PNG tubing. How did that kind of up and down feel, right? How did the journey progress for you?
It is a roller coaster, and it's still a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Like building from nothing to something is very hard. I knew that. I knew that I needed to try new things and learn new skills in order for me to like approach to, you know, getting up there, you know? So I got curious about TikTok and I'm like, let me just upload my clips on TikTok and do very minor editing and things like that. And it started very small. Nobody knew. But then as I kept uploading videos and I kept streaming, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And it was great. But also, it was also overwhelming because the minute I hit like double digits, I never had that many people before the first time. And I when you see that 10 viewers like, the first time,
yeah, it feels good.
It feels great, but then it's like, oh, this is very nerve-wracking. I remember seeing it when I was playing Kirby, the Forgotten Lands. I still remember it to this day because it was a very memorable moment because I've never seen my chat so active. And like, I was happy, but I was also, I realized that I was overstimulated because I am running in a crowd. I think I was not prepared for, oh, I'm on this stage and you're there's so many people watching you. Like, if you ever think that you don't have enough views, ask yourself how that would look like in real life.
Right.
If you sit down in a room and you have 6 people watching you play, that's a lot of people.
Everybody on your shoulder, breathing down your neck.
And the anxiety with it is not cute. It's not cute. I have, like, in moments like that, I've faltered, and sometimes I would like end stream a little early because I felt like my heart was racing, and sometimes I'm shaky, and I'm still shaky to this day. I will not lie. I'm still pretty very jittery. Like, I'm a very honest man. It's very scary. There was points where, unfortunately, where numbers would play in. As much as I don't like looking at numbers as a streamer, it's very toxic. I recommend, please, if you're a streamer and you're hearing this, please turn off your view count. You don't need to look at that at any point. It ruins your mood. Just don't do it at any point in your life. Just have fun. Do what you gotta do. But anyways, I've started making connections at this point, and I started building a circle. This is when you start, like, I'm trying to word it correctly.
No, you're spitting. You know, like, continue.
You got it.
It's like, you start, like, building your community, slowly. And this is when I start seeing my community forming. Like, you built your first Animal Crossing house. That's what it felt like. And you have your first person in your island. And then you have more and more and more. And then you're realizing that you're building your platform. And it's as wonderful as it sounds. You have to apply that. Can you handle it? Can you handle it? Like, I was so nervous that it took me into my career, like, half the year to even make a Discord server so I can have everybody together because I was that nervous.
Sure.
Oh, I get that.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to process, like, a big crowd.
It's,
as much as, like, I'm an introvert.
It's a lot to suddenly have people who are kind of following,
expecting things from you,
right? Not only that, but like following you, right? Like who are not necessarily hanging on every word because they have their own lives, but who are actively engaged with you in a way that they were not before. And you know, maybe it starts out as 3, 4, 5 people, but then suddenly it's 15, suddenly it's 20. That can be a lot. That can be a lot for anyone. And I appreciate that you still struggle with it in a way, right? It feels very very human, so to speak, right? It feels very real. You're not like I have 50 people on my Discord. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's some people who are very braggadocious about it. And right. I recognize that you, despite having the community, recognize your place within what you've built. You know what I mean? It's not just your community. It's your community with these people, and you are still a part of that, and you are also very nervous about that. And I do hope at some point you find your footing. And I think what I mean by that is I've watched you explain what you've explained to me on your stream to people, and I think that your passion for streaming is different than other people that I've seen. I've seen a lot of people on Twitch, especially, who are, you know, doing their thing. They have a decent community, a decent sized community, or a really large one. But it feels like they are centered around themselves. You know what I mean? Whereas it feels like you are centered around each individual who enters your chat. And I appreciate that in a way that I don't think I've ever really expected or even thought about from any other streamer. And so I'm hopeful that you find a kind of equilibrium in yourself to kind of balance yourself with everything that you're juggling and really feel good about participating in what you've built.
That means a lot to me. Thank you. Because that's basically the idea. You got my ass blushing, man.
I'm really good with words. Not to brag. Not to brag. I'm like pretty good with words. But yeah. Thank you for sharing all of that, honestly. I know it can feel like a lot to open up that way. And I appreciate you doing so.
No problem. I'm pretty much an open book when it comes to things like that. I'm not really... I'm very... Like I said, I'm a very honest man. And I think the biggest thing as a streamer is to be genuine. I've seen... When you remember when you asked me about the ups and downs of streaming, I've seen very nitty-gritty things of streaming from other people. And it's just... It's heartbreaking because you would think, because you know they have their own hurt, and the way they're expressing themselves is like they have to play the game to get up there,
right?
You know, and it's like I get it, I understand that, like, get that bread, I know what you got it, what you need to do, but at the same time, it's like you could lose yourself in streaming and content creating, so you have to be very careful on how you handle yourself as an individual and how you take care of your community as well. And that's what I really try to do.
Very good. Maris, before I continue with my interrogation, do you have any questions for Rhythm?
I do have some questions, because now that you've spilled your heart out to us, you can't be nervous anymore.
Like I said, I got the ball rolling. I'm fine now.
Right. We're yapping at this point. Let's talk a little bit of tea. As far as existing in the VTubering sphere, like, how do you feel as someone with your background coming from your sector? Because I'll admit, personally, I don't know too many, like, explicitly furry VTubers. Mm. Mm-hmm. You all navigate a completely different section from, like, I don't say regular VTubing, but, like, humanoid VTubing.
I've noticed, and I'm not trying to seem, like, pretentious.
No, please do.
When I say this, there's a little more there's a little more unity when it comes to, like, supporting among ourselves and peers of furries compared to, like, how the anime communities themselves. Yes. It's we're very lucky that even though, like, our community is not very perfect, we are very quick to support each other. And all you really need to be is, like, a very good person. And before you know it, people will recognize you and people will enjoy what you do. I don't see us as, like, oh, we're above everybody else. No. It's just, I've seen the struggles compared, like, IRL to, IRL. What's the name for IRL? Just say just Flesh Tubers. Yeah. I really don't like Flesh Tubers.
Oh, no, just say Flesh Tubers. It's more of a jokey joke. This is IRL streamer. Or face camera, you could say.
Oh, yeah.
Face cameras, anime VTubers. When you're starting out, it's harder. It's much harder. But for the furry community, it's a little easier. And while I appreciate it, I also see the other side, and it kind of sucks, which is why, like, again, my community is very mixed. And I kind of, like, welcome all kinds of content creator. Mm-hmm. And we all do our part to try to support each other, because I understand how difficult it is, especially if you're POC. If you're POC, right. It's worse. I have my gripes about that, too. But I'll restrain it until that question pops up.
Sure.
Actually, as a segue into that question, I won't touch on it just yet. Mm-hmm. Let's navigate away from VTubing and streaming and just focus on being a black furry.
Sure.
So tell me about that experience. How long have you been, I don't know, in the furry fandom? Been a furry? How do you say that?
I've been a furry for about 15 years. Mm. 15 mm-hmm. years. And just to put it out there, I'm not 100% black. I'm mostly Hispanic. Like,
what's the word? Are you part of the black
Afro-Latino.
Afro-Latino. Like, I'm
the answer is yes.
You're part of the black diaspora. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Of course you are.
You can say I am black. Okay. It's okay.
I'm sure, because it's like,
I'm 100% sure.
Partially, I mean very partially. Like, it's
okay. It's whatever you're comfortable identifying with. You can say I'm mixed, I'm Afro-Latino, I'm black.
Yeah.
Whatever you're okay with. Okay. At the end of the day,
real recognize real.
If you get pulled over, you're just a minority, so, like,
Maris knows.
What? I'm right.
I think I'm light-skinned enough. I think I might get away with it.
You slide? I'm going to let you go.
I think I slide.
Hold up the car.
You get pulled over. I hope you know I'm going to jump into the back. I'm going to need you to, like, just slide into the driver's seat.
I got that's you. So funny.
Stop.
Hello, officer. How may I help you?
Hello.
Yes, I'm in the back. I'm just a little old lady. Don't mind me.
Taking my grandmother to work.
That's so right. Funny. Okay. Can you repeat the question for me one more time? I'm sorry.
We're talking about being a black furry. Because if you've been a black furry for 15 years, I know you have stories. I know you've experienced.
Sure.
Share what you're comfortable with.
Let's see. I've been through very interesting things. Mm-hmm. You would think it would be a little different from the furry community, you know, with the unity and everything like that.
Yeah.
But you realize that white people are white people wherever you go. Perhaps, forgive me.
Jason, you want to get that on a shirt? White people gonna white people?
I've been through like safe conventions of safe spaces where like there's panels where like POC furries all hang out together and just explain the nitty and gritty details of like the problems with the fandom. Because again, the fandom complains about the unity being like very unstable, or like everybody seems to be in it for themselves.
Right.
But you don't see them doing anything about it. It starts with us. It starts with the POC community because we're bringing everybody together. We're all trying to do something. I've been part of like whenever I go to cons, especially since I live near Atlanta. We have this cookout thing that we do for FWA every year. I'm not the main person that goes there, but I draw like art and I do like wall scrolls. And for Black excellence, and that's cool. I contribute to it. So basically, they hang it up in front of the doors, and they know that all the party's here. But it's like, you know, my artwork, and it's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Not boasting, but it's kind of neat. They're like,
that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, people would like do a big room suite party and like cookouts and music, and it's wonderful. I feel a little more safer. And when I say safer, I feel like I can be more me compared to like when I'm with my white friends. And don't get me wrong, I do have like genuine good white friends that I can't be me.
Of course.
But there's always like that little thought in the back of my head where like,
you're not trying to scare them.
No. Yeah. I'm not trying to do too much. I don't want to make them uncomfortable. Or like there are points where like, I don't know where their background is. And I should hold back.
Like, right. I get you.
There was like, there's those moments where like, me and a few friends went to a club during the convention, just out of curiosity. And it's just like, I've never been to like a bar club before. And when I went there, I was probably like the only skin color man there. And I was very intimidated. And they were very welcoming, don't get me wrong. But it just feels, yeah, this is not my scene. I'm so sorry. Like, it's really hard to explain. It's like one of those moments where you're like,
you're very aware of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm very aware. I'm very aware.
Sure.
I get that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I'm over here like, nah, I'm going to go back to the convention. You guys have fun
right.
with your sea of white people. Like, you have at it.
There's definitely...
And I can understand, like, part of you feeling like, ah, oh, man, am I being a jerk? But at the same time, you're like,
right. There's a lot of... I think there's a lot of that for us wherever we go, right? Especially in spaces that perhaps start out majority white, and then we start to introduce ourselves into it. Where you recognize, like, I'm one of five people who look like me here. You know what I mean? And it can be very daunting, first of all, to be that self-aware in the moment when everyone else is having fun and you feel like you're not. And it can be kind of eye-opening in a way where you're thinking, like, should I be here? Yes. Do I want to be here? Questionable. Like,
right.
And it makes you question, like, are you doing it to yourself? Are they doing it to you? Like, what's happening
here? I was just about to say, like, does anyone else notice?
Right.
Or am I the only one noticing? Am I crazy for being the only one noticing? If anyone else notices, how do they feel about it? Does that mean I should leave? It just sends you to a total spiral. Unless you have anxiety on top of that.
Oh, I get it so bad. Do you know the meme of like the like there's a room full of white girls just
with the cups.
With the cups. That's how it feels like.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how it feels like.
I get that.
I've absolutely been there.
Yeah, every time. And they're so nice too, and I feel so bad, but it's just there's so much history.
Right.
And there's so much there's so much to unpack there that like we're not at that level yet, even though they're trying.
And
I feel kind of jerkish, but it's like, if there was maybe like a few other people, like in the perfect world, I wish it was just a mixed space in general. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been to hangouts where, like, it's just diversity everywhere. I'm cozy because it tells me that, like, this is literally a space where you can be yourself. There's no reason for you to hold back. Like the diversity is immaculate. You see, like, Asian, furries, not even for the furry community, just to, like, in general, any event that has that much diversity, mm-hmm. you, there is no, I'm more comfortable than I ever was.
Sure. Absolutely.
Oh, I get it. Like, dang it, I just had the word conformity. Mm. There's no desire to conform.
Right.
When you realize everyone is different, you're like, okay, cool. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, like, you know, everybody's weird. And it feels you're more at home. I think that's the simplest way I can put it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a kind of familiarity that you are looking for when you know you're in these types of spaces. Mm-hmm. And you may not notice it right away, but you definitely notice it when you realize that there is no familiarity in the room, right? And I think white people hate to hear that, right? Because there is a diversity, likely, of thought, orientation, right, amongst them that they believe should matter as much as your skin color. But what they don't realize is that there is a diversity and history that comes with being black, and the only person in the room who is black, that kind of triumphs over all of that, right? Where
it's a weird trigger for your fight or flight response,
right? And it's not necessarily that you want to feel that way. It's that regardless of whether or not you are all friendly towards me, I still feel a little bit in danger, right? And I have to either reconcile that and have a good time, or I have to figure out if I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's usually going to be ready to go because I got to pick me, Lucius. Like, I have to choose me. I can't.
Right, I have to go. I know, like, especially when you know what's coming too. Especially, like, I've been to a point where I tried staying at some points, and of course, yeah, I got hit with, like, the Hispanic questions.
Right.
And of course, it's cute at some points, but, like, when you're, I'm not a walking dictionary.
Right.
Please. I'm not here to, like, entertain what you don't know, and literally you can just take, it's a quick Google search. Google's free.
Use Duolingo.
Duolingo. There we go. We have Duolingo now.
Go get Rosetta Stone. You'll be fine. Figure it out.
Rosetta Stone. What did she do?
Miss Rosetta Stone? She teaches you, she teaches you all kind of languages. Right. Miss Rosetta.
Right. Miss Rosetta can get it, because she teaches you Chinese, and that's hard.
Man, she really do. no, but I think we're more or less on the same page here. And I'm thinking back to a lot of times when you grow up like I did in New York City, in the Bronx, you get a lot of diversity right off the bat, right? There's black people, there's brown people, there's everybody's mixed in there. But then if you move slightly north of New York City, or very far west, like I did, the diversity is there, but it's not apparent, right? And you can go to, you know, black fraternities, you can, like, I did it with in college. I went to a lot of black parties, black fraternities, all that stuff, and that felt good. But I had a lot of white friends who were like, why don't you come out with us? And I'd be like, sure, only black person there.
And then you get there.
Right. And I would have to, like, bury that in order to focus on just having a good night. And and it's never truly not there, right? One part of you is having a good night. Another part of you is like, am I going to have a problem with any of these people this evening? And it's never.
Are they gonna be slick with the
mouth? Right. Like, are they gonna ask me to? Are they gonna ask to touch my hair? Are they gonna ask about other stereotypes? Like, what am I going to have to say to these people and or do to these people to get them to leave me alone? Right. And again, it's never that you want to feel that, but it is like shared diasporic feelings, historical context. All lives within us at all times, no matter what. And for the most part, most of us experience this at least one time, if not every day of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it's rough to have to go through that at, like, conventions, right?
Right. Like, we're all a bunch of weirdos. Like, why are you, right. Like, why does it need to be a thing? Of all things, you know? I get that. It sucks. It sucks. It's like you're there. There's no one's doing anything, but you're aware of the situation. Mm-hmm. And it's like back. It's cycling back to what was said before. Where like you feel like an asshole, but honestly, you're just
looking out for yourself. Right? Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Right.
This weird little tightrope walk of like, okay, sure, nothing might happen in the 4 hours I'm here. It's going to take one comment. Everything to go terribly.
Right.
And I'm waiting on that one comment because that's what I need to bail. But will I be able to get out safely? Is someone going to get mad at me for leaving after the comment? It's so much of like, how can I mitigate this? And then, like, you stress yourself out about mitigating a potential issue. And then you sit there and wonder, like, do y'all ever feel this way when you come over to our side?
Right.
Like, ever?
Right.
Because if you do, I wouldn't feel that crazy.
Right. What if you're the only gay person?
We don't talk about
it. What if you're the only woman? What if you're the only man? Like, right. You know, like, do you not feel this at all?
That's a good question. I feel like they're more, if they were to be, like, the only white person there, I think they'll be more entertained than anything else. And
that's the wild part.
Yeah. That's crazy. You're sitting there like, this is like,
I'm so glad like y'all invited me.
Right.
This is so much fun.
Right.
Like, I'm glad you're having a good time.
I'm so happy for you. Grit your teeth and like, stare side eyes.
Right.
I remember where you brought me, what street you brought me to, and why I had to text my best friend at 2 o'clock in the morning saying, hey, I'm leaving this area.
Yeah.
If you don't hear from me by 3:35, I need you to call the police.
Right.
You got safety number, you got emergency contacts too, girl.
Me too. I've literally been in this situation in college where my friend would go to parties and like specific fraternity parties because we lived right next to sorority row, and she would call me because I lived across campus and I'd walk to campus, me with my almost 6 foot self
big
to where she is, to come and walk her back to our dorm. So, yeah, it's very much a situation where it's like, if you are a woman, you get it.
Right.
If you are a queer in a very non-queer area, you get it. But for some reason, if you're not either of those things, it completely slips your mind in the situation.
Somehow. Perfect. Any other... questions, Maris?
Any other questions for me? No, I derailed enough.
No, you're good. You're good.
Like, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm literally just been talking my head off. I'm ready.
That's
now.
All the show is. That's so all the show is. So you currently are a PNG tuber. Do you have any aspirations to do the whole shooting match, the whole rig with the moving hands and fingers and wiggle your ears
or
and all
3D?
That.
Yes, I do 3D or even like live 2D. That's the names for it. I do one day wish to be a bouncy titty man, big titty man on the internet. Like you have no idea.
Yes.
I want that so badly because I'm a very expressive person and I can't really do that with PNG as much. Mm-hmm. And I will not, when I stream, I don't sit still. I'm very, very adamant with my movements. And I'm very excited to one day reach that point where I can just be full on expression mode when it comes to it. But not right now.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to be an PNG tuber. Well, that and I have other reasons.
Money?
The price tag.
Yeah, the price tag is, I know the price tag is big.
Oh, I mean, like, yeah, price. The price is awful. God, awful. God, in this economy, too? Jesus, this economy, it's terrible.
Thanks, Bo Jiden.
it's more of the fact that, like, I'm having fun building my craft as a PNG tuber. I feel like people, this is just a personal opinion, too. I feel like a lot of people jump into the VTuber thing gung-ho and expect to blow up just from that.
Sure. It's
and, true. Like, they spent thousands of dollars on their model just to barely get any traction. And I understand that, like, people are, you can do what you want. Like, I'm not gonna rule that against you, but I rather reach a point where I understand the kind of content I would like to make and the kind of stuff that I want to do before I reach that point as a VTuber. And also for the fact I want to teach people that you don't need the most fancy shit to, like, get to being one of these big time streamers, you know? That's my biggest goal. Like, my first goal right now is to reach partner one day as a PNG tuber.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can see that. I can see that happening. Very good.
Oh, thank you.
I can see it. I can see it.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you. It's just, I just really am having fun as a PNG tuber, and, like, I want to show a different caliber of, like, what content is. Like, I want to be fully me when I reach that point. I don't need some fancy, expensive models to make content. I feel like people, like, if you're starting out, understand your, like, build your platform. Understand who you are and what you're trying to perceive as a streamer, content creator, or, like, any of the sorts. Like, know what you're going to do. And if you don't know, just have fun with it. And you'd be surprised where your path leads you to. And just stick with that. And if you don't like it, you can always change it. That's a crazy thing. Like, people don't understand. Like, you can invent yourself and reinvent yourself how you like it as long as you're being you.
All right.
And that's why I'm still a PNG tuber. I'm just having way too much fun. And when everybody's enjoying the journey until we get there, because I feel like, knock on wood, I'm getting close. But right now, I'm having fun. I'm having fun to where I am right now. If I get there, I get there.
Having fun inside eye in the analytics?
I do. Okay, listen. I have to check. I have no choice but to check. But I don't check. I don't check every week.
Right.
I check once a month.
Healthy amount.
I do healthy checking. Mm-hmm. I check once a month and I see my numbers. And sometimes it's like, oh, this is great, and they're like, oh, not too hot. But at the end of the day, I ask myself, did I have fun? Did I got my word out? Did I put my heart into it? Did I enjoy myself? And I'm like, yeah, I did. Like, people are going to see that. Like, if you keep going, you keep your consistency, people are going to see your content and people are going to resonate with it. You just got to give it time. There's people out there with, like, 5,000 or, like, 6,000 followers, and they barely able to retain that many viewers, which is crazy to me because I don't understand how that works. I still don't know how that works.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, like, it's just one of those things, like, you'll understand that you need to give it time. You need to give it, like, an opportunity. You need to give yourself a break when you don't hit the numbers that you want to. Like, these are people. These are actual people. Everybody is their own main characters to their own stories. Mm-hmm. Like, and when, as a content creator, you're going to be subjected to them. They're going to owe it to them to come sit down and watch your stream. To this point, I don't know what the hell I'm doing to make it, like, seem like they want to watch me. But you know what? I'm grateful, and I feel like it's a blessing in the stars for it. I feel like I'm very lucky. Don't get me wrong. I know I work hard for what I do. Mm-hmm. I know I put in a different niche techniques where when it comes to, like, streaming, and I try to, like, all these, like, fun little vibes and stuff like that. And I know my worth. I know my worth.
Of course.
But I still say I'm still lucky to this point to have a community that I have and have the friends that I have.
Yeah.
And to get me to this point. And I'm going to continue to do so as a P&D tuber.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to skip over to talking about video games because you answered a lot of questions I already had. Congratulations on being ahead of the... No. Don't be sorry. That's a great thing. You said a lot of words and that makes my job easier.
Conversationalist. I can see why people watch you.
Yeah. Rhythm's so nice. So we're going to talk about games. We're going to talk about games now. We're going to first focus in on any Black created games or games with Black protagonists that you may be excited about.
To be honest, I don't know many because my platform is based on very, very mixed media stuff. Games I've mostly never played before because I grew up in a history of, well, flat out say I was poor. And having anything other than a Nintendo was very, like, wild for me. And now, since I'm older now and I have the quote-unquote funds, well, when I can, I will buy the game that people suggest and I will try it out. And I would just look forward to that. Like, sure, I have my cozy games, but my cozy games I play off stream. My platform's more for, like, trying out the games of what people grew up with and what I missed out on, you know? Like right now, I'm playing the Resident Evil series for the first time, and I'm having a heart attack every 24 seconds, because I hate horror games.
I like them.
Yeah. You love them?
I'm a Resident Evil fanboy, too.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Come talk to me about that game. I know everything. The lore is in my blood at this point.
I'm trying to do it for the lore. And just to let you know, I'm starting with zero. Well, apparently it's a mistake.
Are you playing on normal?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. For some reason, and this is, like, we don't even have to answer the question at this point, but for some reason, Resident Evil Zero specifically, Capcom said, we're going to make normal mode hard, and we're going to make hard mode impossible. And we're going to make easy mode, like, holding your hand through the entire thing. There's nothing about easy mode that is remotely difficult. However, you turn on normal mode, suddenly you have no bullets. You pick up maybe a few every 2 minutes. None of the monsters drop any. And you have to, like, pick and choose which ones you're going to shoot, basically. You have to be very conservative with your ammunition.
Oh.
It sounds like movie mode to me.
It's...
Right.
It's real difficult. But if you're getting through it so far, props to you. I ain't playing on normal. Not that one.
So I've set myself up. Got it. Lovely. This is going to be great.
Just conserve your ammunition. Have fun with the puzzle. The puzzles are really good in Zero. But yeah, have a good time.
But to backtrack a bit, I would love to know more Black game creators. I don't know many, I'll be honest. Sure. So if there's, like, any new... There's one game that I've been keeping an eye on, but it's very indie. It's about a Black girl who is falling into a dream, and she fights with a conductor's needle, and she fights with bass of the music, and it's
I saw the trailer for that.
Oh, you saw it? Yeah, I'm very excited to play that whenever it becomes a thing. I'm waiting for the demo, but it's, since it's by a creator, like, who's very small, like, I think it's like one person, honestly, and I have to sit here waiting patiently because I've been sitting here like, I really want to play that game because she fights based on the beat of the music, and it's just like, it's like Hi-Fi Rush, but with classic music and a Black girl. I'm very excited. Right, it's everything I ever wanted.
This isn't...
Don't get me wrong, we love ourselves rock music, but classic music and every other thing, especially EDM, I eat that up.
Classical music is like...
Mm-hmm. It's so much fun.
This isn't Sword of Symphony, right?
No, it's not Sword of Symphony.
So. Okay.
No,
it's Sword of Symphony, that character is not deaf. This one specifically, the character... not just that character, but all the characters, they focus on physical disabilities.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. We'll have
I don't remember the name and it's killing me, but I've been watching it for a while.
Throwing me. It was literally, the trailer came out, not the last game. Yeah, during the last Game Awards, it came out.
Why don't I remember
And this? That's when I saw the trailer for it, and I was like, huh. Let's see. And everybody who's watching was like, that sounds like a dumb game. I'm like, you sound dumb.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
you're just homophobic. Right. I just call him homophobic. Yeah. Call
right. You're homophobic. I think you're right.
I can't believe you hate me. Specifically me. Why would you say this about me?
About me.
I don't know if I remember this one. I'll have to see if I can figure it out before the episode
ends. I'm going to find it. I'm going to scroll through the Game Awards and find it, and I will send it to you. And you'll be like, oh.
Yes. Please do. And throw me the name my way, please. Yeah,
yeah, like, I will.
I can do
I
better.
Will. I'm going to tag both of you on Twitter and be like, it's this!
It's this! I found it! I don't remember that one. I remember Usual June, which kind of looks like a more adventure-y kind of Life is Strange sort of. A lot of like spirits, a lot of supernatural things in it.
I've seen that one.
Yeah.
Harmonium.
I do remember the name of that. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Harmonium's a good one.
Harmonium.
And the musical. Yeah, everybody, like, the game itself doesn't have a whole lot of dialogue because everyone uses ASL to speak.
Mm.
And when I tell you, it looks so good. It looks so cute.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, Harmonium is a good one. Bitches. Harmonium, Usual June, like I said, that's one I'm looking forward to. It looks just very, very kind of cozy in an adventure-y type of way. It's not a very scary looking game. It looks kind of just kind of supernatural, and she gets like a cool spirit sword or something. It looks fun. There's also a game with a black protagonist coming out from the people over at Life is Strange, Lost Records, Bloom and Rage, which also seems to have kind of a you know, I Know What You Did Last Summer kind of vibe to it. With an all-girl cast, all-lady cast. It looks interesting. And then, of course, there's the Marvel Blade game, which is not coming out this year, but should be coming out pretty soon, I believe. Probably within the next year or two. Always love Blade, so excited for that as well.
I have comments on Mr. Blade, so I'm gonna just...
Are they disgusting, nasty, filthy comments?
Oh, maybe.
Okay, I sure hope so.
Yeah.
That man is foiled.
Okay. We're just that man. Very, like, tapping our forehead. Like...
Yeah, we all know, telepathically. We all knew already. But very good. As a black gamer, what are your hopes for the industry? What do you want devs to know about you? Or what do you hope to see devs do in the future?
Okay, so this is probably like a thing that's been going around that like everybody's been complaining about, but do you know how like black characters have the black male characters specifically
the Killmonger hair.
Have the same hairstyle?
Killmonger hairstyle, yeah.
Yes.
I'm very sick. I'm very tired. I very appreciate like they're seen, but like it's.
I'm very of two minds about this one, but this is your time, so I will not.
No, you're fine. I just want a little more diversity.
Sure.
It's a big thing.
Yeah.
Like it's great. It looks good. I get it. It's like the black people version of the white person, like side fade kind of thing, and I get that, but it's just like I want more. Can you please give me more? Can you give me more than that? Because I'm a big like If you give me a game that like requires me to build my character, I would like to have different hairstyles, different ethnic hairstyles specifically.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it just seems like they get it right sometimes, and other times you're like, what is that?
Right.
And that's a big thing for me. Big thing. Let's see. Other things that I want to see is more like, you know, more games with more diversities of main characters, as always.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big thing. And I feel like, let's see, as much as I enjoyed Miles Morales, it's still having, like, I would like if it was a solo focus of just Miles Morales when you still had, you know, you still had Spider-Man there, but like, Spider-Man didn't really have to be there. It just needed to be Miles Morales, but they put Spider-Man there as a, I don't know, like, I love Peter Parker, don't get me wrong. Great guy, in any universe. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I felt like he was just kind of there to, like, to help promote the game in a way, if that makes sense. Like, you pick up on, like, he's the main character, but not the main character. And, like, Miles Morales is supposed to be, like, the runner-up, take over the business kind of guy. And I felt like they could have pushed that game to do more, personally. So, more black main characters without a supporting white male in the back trying to help them out kind of thing.
Sure. That's good.
I feel that's very, I feel like that's very, like, me, personally, so I apologize.
No. You're good, you're good. That was a good one.
Mostly sorry that we asked you.
No. It's just, it's one of those things I never said out loud before, so it's like, oh, I said it.
People are going to understand me. Oh, no.
Closed mouths don't get fed.
True. So true, so true.
Very, very true.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, we're going to dive into our brief bit of news for this episode as well. We got a look at a Nintendo Direct this week. A Nintendo Direct that included Epic Mickey, a bunch of other partner games, including Monster Hunter Stories, Shin Megami Tensei V Vengeance, a Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection, which I am personally very into, Gundam Breaker 4, and Super Monkey Ball, a new Super Monkey Ball title for the first time in a few years, actually.
I'm so excited, actually.
New Fantasy Life, and it ended with a look at a new Endless Ocean title, Endless Ocean Luminous. We also got a look at Demon Slayer, some other quick mentions, and some new Rare games, which are going to be available now on Switch Online, including Battletoads, Blast Corps, and more. So, what are we into? What are we excited about, folks?
I'm going to let the guest answer first, because I'm going to say some cringe.
Uh-oh. Okay.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Say it.
No. Go ahead. You first.
Okay. I know this is probably like, I'm probably like the only one, but I'm very excited about the crab game.
No.
Okay.
Another Crab's Treasure.
You're not the only one. You're not the only one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. Cool. Great. Because like, I'm going to be honest, like the Nintendo Direct didn't really spark anything within me.
That's valid.
Because I didn't know like half of these games, most of these games, because again, I don't know, like,
these are
I didn't grow up with these games.
A good chunk of these games are not sequels. A lot of them are original titles, minus like Fantasy Life, World of Goo. Some of these are completely original. Unicorn Overlord, the Arranger game, which looked really cool, Ender Magnolia. Those are all first time titles. So there's a good chunk in here that nobody would know, if that helps.
Okay, good. Because I did know Sword Art Online. I'm like, that's still a thing.
Yeah.
It kind of threw me off. Because I'm like, oh, they're still making games for this series. That's nice. Anyways, yeah.
But yeah,
Gundam was actually pretty cool to see, sure. To be honest. Yeah.
I know a friend like who would be here, like, very happy about Gundam Breaker 4.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Big Gundam fan over there.
Oh, I only watched, like, one Gundam, and it's the one, it's Gundam G, and it's the guy who's, like, screaming, Shining Finger!
Yeah, yeah.
That was the one I grew up with.
I grew up with a lot of Gundam stuff, but it never stuck. And now, all of a sudden, there's, like, Gundam things happening around me, and I'm, like, the Mr. Krabs meme, where he's, like, shocked and the room is spinning.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much.
That's me with the fucking Gundam.
I felt that.
Maris, what is your cringe comment?
My cringe comment? It was literally the crab game.
Oh, okay.
The crab game looks super
really cute. Let's go.
I get worse. I get so much worse. I am mad excited for Monkey Ball. I remember playing Monkey Ball with like one of my cousins because they had a console. Yeah, and Monkey Ball didn't. And I was like, that is the cutest freaking game I've ever seen. And I could only play it when I was at their house.
I'm
excited for Monkey Ball.
I'm shouting them out again, but I was actually in Dinner and Annie's stream when Monkey Ball was announced.
And they were screaming about it.
Annie cried. Like, Annie was sobbing.
So excited about Monkey Ball.
And then so immediately booted up Super Monkey Ball for the GameCube, like, right after the direct was over.
So cute.
Oh, that's so cute.
So I am excited for that one by proxy, especially because there's also going to be a 16-player multiplayer mode in that.
Mm-hmm. Which is
and
insane.
I want to play Monkey Ball.
Yeah, that. So now I'm like, oh, there's a multiplayer. I can play Monkey Ball with people. I'm in. Like, sure. Yes. Let's go.
I want a Monkey Ball game where you can just customize your character and make your own monkey soda.
Well, good news. There's a good bit of customization in this one.
Yay!
Well, that's a first day purchase.
Okay, another one I'm really excited for. Oh. World of Goo.
Oh yeah?
I experienced really? World of Goo on PC first and foremost. So like this was before it became an Xbox exclusive, it had another thing and da da da. It was on PC.
Mm-hmm.
And I played that game obsessively, like completed it 2 times.
Mm.
And mind you, we only had a PC at mom's job, so it was only when I was able to go to work with her I got to play World of Goo after I was done with my homework. Like, it was very serious.
Very cool.
So I'm excited to have that, like, on my Switch and be able to play that with my own kid, and we can, like, do the puzzles together.
That's wonderful.
And then, like, on the side, I'm excited for Fantasy Life. That one looks cute.
Fantasy Life is always nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I like slice of life games. That's adorable to me. I'm also I'm hyped for Epic Mickey.
Yeah.
But I remember Epic Mickey coming out in 2011.
Something like
and
that.
And it being a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
I never played it.
Yeah, me neither.
So I have nothing to go off of.
Yeah. Your first dive into Epic Mickey.
Yeah, I know, right? And actually, Ranger. Fun. A Ranger looks cool. I like puzzle games, though.
A Ranger looks cool. But my brain is too small for that. Does that make sense?
Your brain is not small.
The way that game, the conceit of that game in which the world moves as you move and that is the puzzle, too much for me. It looks like I will be able to do it, but it also looks like I would cry. You know?
You know, you love it on this, man.
I think it looks amazing. I love puzzle games. I love to like really stress my brain out a little bit by thinking a lot. But I was looking at that game like, hang on, either they're moving too fast or I'm stupid. I don't know if I can do this. It does look like a lot
I'm
of fun
excited
though.
For that, though.
Pocket Card Jockey is the cutest game I've ever seen in my life, and I think I may actually grab that at some point. It was apparently only an iOS exclusive game at one point. Now it's getting a sequel.
Horse game.
Yes, it's like a horse racing game. You can customize your horse. I'm typically not into horse racing, and I think it's barbaric. However, this looks very cute. Yeah. So
it reminds me of Rhythm Heaven, like
the style. Right.
Yeah.
Got that feel. It's got also like a Harvest Moon Story of Seasons thing going on. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of into
horse
it.
This is too damn big.
Right? Big ass head horse.
Big hands are.
They're cute. I love them. I thought this was a pretty good direct all in all. It seems like
very fun.
The partner directs are always like, oh, you know, a bunch of indie games no one cares about, but this one had some pretty good titles that folks were actually like, I was not expecting to see Monster Hunter Stories in this, or Epic Mickey touched up
for the Nintendo Switch. Right. So
throw me for a loop. They're getting more creative with these remastered games, I swear.
Wait, like a weird one that's going to be a first day purchase for me is actually Luminous Ocean. Luminous. Like, I have a oceanic theme to my whole
scheme. That's true.
So, like, anyone buying that game, we are going swimming.
Yeah, 30 player going online.
For a swim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 30
and
people.
30 people and emotes and all that.
Right.
Very, that's so fun. It's a very good purchase.
I need to try the game. It looks very, very calming. Yeah. Or I have no idea what the series is about, but still want to try it.
Just go diving for fish?
You go looking at a whale. That's it.
Oh, yeah. My tassophobia won't kick in with this game. Yeah.
It will. This one looks cozy to me. Like, I have a bit of the thalassophobia.
Well, yeah, being underwater is cozy. But,
like, but this one, yeah, this one looks like it's not Subnautica. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
not Subnautica. Yeah, Subnautica makes me panic.
Hey, that's from Watchmen.
Right.
Nightmare.
Very good. God. All right. We do have to wrap this show up. So as we do that, we always ask Rhythm that you give our listeners a recommendation. Which game should they be playing or be on the lookout for?
Wow. I'm a very like play what you want kind of guy, but I'm very curious about Helldivers 2 right now.
Oh.
I've not played it. And I'm not really a big person on, like, army-based games and stuff like that.
Shooter.
But this one is, like, space army. Mm-hmm. And, like, you're all trying to work together to kill bugs. And, like, the servers have, like, these planned-out wars that everybody has to work together to kill these bugs. So it's very, like, lore, RP, LARPing kind of, like, theme.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, I kind of want to jump in that just to try it out and see how it feels.
Yeah.
Because I've seen streamers do it, and they get really into character, and it's very interesting.
I like that kind of stuff.
Like, you guys are pretending more than furries. Yeah. Like, damn.
Like, you need to find friends who are super, super, super into it if you're, like, kind of on the fence, and then don't buy it now.
Just start role-playing.
Like, 2 months after the servers relax.
Yeah, I think the servers are kind of up there right now.
Oh, yeah, they're out there right now.
Yeah. So that's a game that maybe people should try and give it a shot, because, like, honestly, a game that brings people together like that. Mm-hmm. It's just like, huh, let me give it a shot. Why not?
Yeah, I love team-based games.
Let's see. Keep in mind that we have a Pokemon Direct later this month, too. So keep an eye on that.
It's next Tuesday.
Yes, next Tuesday. So
should be exciting.
Keep an eye out for that.
Yeah.
I'm very excited and very concerned and scared at the same time, too.
It's always like this in Pokemon. You never know.
Right.
Is it going to be a next gen, or is it going to be a remake, or is it going to be both? Also, what about a t-shirt? Am I getting a shirt? Am I getting socks? Am I getting a hat? Am I getting a coat? Gloves.
You're more than likely going to get a Pokemon promo code for a free Pokemon.
Yeah, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Are
you gonna give me nothing, or are you gonna give me something? What's happening? Let's go.
Arceus. Give me shiny Arceus right now.
Like, for real. Can you unshiny lock all the legendaries so we can like start getting those, please?
I'm trying to be happy.
If they do release a new remake, it's more than likely going to be black and white.
Yeah.
And that's what they're saying. I'm fine with it.
There's also,
I just wanted to take their time with the next gen.
There's also rumors of a Let's Go style Johto, which I would be completely into. Johto is my favorite gen. Gen 2, favorite. Would go back. Will go back.
I'm desperately just begging for another Arceus game. That's all I want. Legend of Arceus game. Like now,
another Legend? Yeah, sure.
Just please. If you would like to make it Hoenn, that'd be really great. But you don't have to. I'll take anything. Like,
I'll take anything.
I can see
very
that.
Good. Yeah. Maris, what do you got?
Excuse me, Squidlings and Octolings. Can you stand up, please?
Oh my God.
I would like everyone to be aware that yesterday's side order dropped. So if you have the Splatoon 3 expansion pass, you can play side order out the box. And it's super duper fun solo mode. Like, you don't have to fight nobody. You just go play.
You don't gotta.
I don't do matchmaking.
I've seen people play it recently. It's very hard, but very fun.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. It's like a little roguelite, and it's just Splatoon. Like, Splatoon itself has like really fun, entertaining lore. that's like a little dark if you really get into it, but it's like just fun, you know? Mm-hmm. And the game itself, you were just spraying ink, buddy. Like, it's not complicated, but it's so entertaining. And I've been playing since it dropped. So, like, since last night.
So you've just been you've been addicted for quite some time now.
Literally over 24 hours.
Very good.
Oh, it's so fun.
Yeah, I've seen some people. I've seen some people finish it already. So yeah, I get it. Yeah,
finish it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I get it.
People get locked in. It's very easy to do it. Like, if I didn't have things to do today, I would still be playing.
Period.
Very cool.
That's the adult life, unfortunately.
Honestly. Truly.
So what about you, James?
What
about you?
We are recommending Nightingale today. Nightingale is a 1920s/Victorian era-ish survival game out now, technically in early access, but it is fairly fleshed out for an early access game. When I first saw it at I believe Game Awards, or maybe Summer Game Fest, announcement.
I think it was both.
I was immediately really into it. It feels like I dreamt up this game. Typically, I like the Victorian 1920s aesthetic. I like all the suits and the fancy hats, and everyone's got a weird mustache and all that. But the conceit of this game is really what hooked me, right? You are not only a Victorian era boy or lady, you are also like thrust into the Feywild. You are amongst the Fey, trying to survive technically in their world, doing all the typical things you like in survival games, the crafting, the gathering, the building of homes. You get several different types of homes you can build once you get into that stage of the game when you're really building like your own little place, your own little chunk of the world. But the coolest thing about this game is the fact that you are not limited to one map. The game has a system where you have three cards. You have a kind of a land card, so a desert, a swamp, or a forest. You have a major arcana card, which controls what kind of almost like magical powers the land has with it. And then you have a minor arcana, which controls like kind of the difficulty, or, you know, if you're getting some extra trees or if you're getting no trees. A lot of different combinations to really make every realm that you visit, every portal that you go through, extremely different. And it's almost like you'll never get the same match, right? Every time you find a combination of cards. I've only just started. I've only gotten.
It sounds interesting as hell.
I've only gotten into it for a few minutes, really. But it is so much fun, and I'm having a lot of fun watching other people, because no two play styles are the same between players. No two worlds are the same when you start out. You know, everyone's getting different cards and traveling to these different realms already and getting all kinds of different results out of it. And it's really, really, really interesting. And I implore people to give it a try. It's supposed to be a point in the game where you unlock a hub, basically, where it suddenly feels more like an MMO. So it's not just like a party up style survival game. All of a sudden you are together with all the other players that are possibly available at the time, and you can party up from there instead. So it's got a lot going on for it, I think. And I hope that it really takes off. I hope people really enjoy it, because I feel like I'm really going to have fun with this one. I spoke a lot about
it. I need it in my life. The way how you like so passionately talked about it just got me so curious. So I'm like looking into where to get it now.
Yeah. It is. I believe it's still on sale. It's 10% off right now, making it $27 instead of $30. So yeah, give it a try.
Let me give it a shot. Yeah. Why not?
And if you're playing, you can play with me. So, yeah.
Friends join. Yeah. Me, basically, kind of.
Come to my realm. I only have a small house. And a roll up bed.
And finally, to finish off this episode, please let us know where we can find you on the internet and if you have anything else to plug. Rhythm?
Oh God, I'm promoting myself. Jesus. Yep. Okay.
You do it.
Twitch.tv RhythmStarHusky. You can find me there, is where I stream. You type in RhythmStarHusky, you can find me on any platform. Mm-hmm. As long as you can spell rhythm, because apparently people have trouble spelling rhythm and I don't understand. But it's fine. Wait, what? Which you two? Excuse me.
I can't spell. It's just not something I would.
You know what? It's fine. We love you regardless.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course. But yeah, that's fine. Just type in RhythmStarHusky, you'll find me on the internet. I'm everywhere at this point. I hope that didn't come off of pretentious.
No.
You can just find me easily. That's what I'm saying. You've
carved out a part of the internet for yourself that no one else can take. We
love brand consistency.
Absolutely. I know I do. Maris, where people...
Hair flipping visit one more time.
Maris, where people find you on internet?
Much like RhythmStarHusky, if you look up Maris the Witch, you will literally find all of my socials.
Very good.
Easy. I am on Twitter, Blue Sky, Twitch, YouTube.
I found your link tree.
TikTok. There you go. I found your link tree.
That's so funny. Excellent. Super duper. All right. As always, you can find me at CommyJaceGaming on Twitter and The Weekly Cooldown as well on Twitter at WKCooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Instagram page. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes. I'm also on Blue Sky and, like I said, Instagram, CommyJaceGaming. Be sure to leave a review or comment. Just a review, actually, please. No, I'm kidding. leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Remember that your reviews help the show grow, and it helps this podcast thrive. Another 6 maybe years. We'll see. I don't know. I'm tired. Be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. And remember that you can support your favorite charities and support the show. Our logo and art is done by Corgian. Follow Corgian on Twitter at Doghouse... Doghouse Corgian. DoghouseCorgian. I forgot. There was a whole thing with that. Our intro music is done by Riki. Find Riki on Twitter at dog_noise. DOG_NOISE. All right. That is all for the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace.
I'm Maris.
And I am Rhythm.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.